Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. And next, we're brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the United States? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. OddsCrowd gives away hundreds of dollars in weekly contests, including the $100 SGPN exclusive free roll contest, and that's OddsCrowd. And last, of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right in the palm of your hand. Download the SGPN app in either the Google Play Store or the Apple Store.
Hi-de-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 73, we made it up to already. Dedication has nothing to do with number 73, but I obviously have to dedicate it to one of the greatest comedic ex-Sports Canada has ever produced, in the late, great Norm MacDonald, gone too soon, RIP. All that stuff. So this one's for Norm. Hopefully it's not box office poison. So thank you for coming to the podcast. My name would be Jeff Fox. I would be your host of this here podcast. Some call me Juicy Jeff. Some call me Juicy J. Some call me Shock Juice. You can call me whatever you like, as long as you listen to the podcast. And thank you to all of you who have helped us chart. And last time I checked, we were charting in Canada, US, UK, Australia, and Brazil. So thank you for everyone. Our worldwide family for making that happen. I believe what I just did was what the kids call a humble brag. I made it seem like I was thanking, but really it was just my way of bragging about how amazing this podcast is. But we probably should get right down to it because we have a super amazing 15-fight UFC Fight Night card coming up that we have to break down. And oh boy, that's exciting stuff. So I probably should bring in my co-host. The prettiest purple belt around is what I call him now. The one known as Daniel Gumby, Barney Gumble, Vreeland.
I like that shortened version. Usually there was like a 75-part intro where I'm fighting Bartosz Fawzinski, but just the prettiest purple belt at the ball is kind of a nice touch.
We have a lot of things to cram in this episode, Dan. So there's no time to waste. No time to talk about you wrestling bears growing up or not having TV or anything like that. So you probably don't even know who Norm MacDonald is or why he was funny, do you?
I do love Norm MacDonald, first of all.
Okay.
He's like one of my favorite comedians of all time. Him telling the moth joke is maybe maybe the hardest I've ever laughed. If you've never heard it before, I'm not going to try to like summarize it here, because if I summarize it here, I'm going to slaughter it, because nobody ever has delivered a joke before like Norm MacDonald. So yeah, Google the moth joke. Do yourself a favor today. Get yourself a good laugh. And if you don't enjoy that sense of humor, me and you probably don't have too much to talk about, because I think it's the most perfect joke ever told by a phenomenal joke teller. So Google Norm MacDonald's Norm MacDonald's moth joke, enjoy it. And also too, just like him doing the SNL cold open that time shortly after they fired him is what is comedic genius. He just like put the entire SNL admin on blast after they fired him and then asked him to host it like a year later. It's great. Yeah, I love Norm MacDonald.
That's right. You had NBC growing up, you told us, so you actually you could have watched all that stuff. I guess you were probably too young to watch it at the time, though.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of that in like retro, like especially like the Norm MacDonald years were probably a little before my time, but like him, I mean, we talked about Billy Madison on this podcast a few weeks ago. He's in Billy Madison.
He's
freaking hilarious in that for those little snippets he's in.
Yes, exactly. Of course. All right. Enough of that nonsense. Like I said,
we have time to talk really quick about how I just absolutely murdered it on Contender Series, too?
Yeah, of course. We're going to talk Contender Series, of course.
Okay, because I went 5-6 this past week, including hitting a 175 underdog.
Let's go right into that, then. You, along with the our inmates on the SGPN Slack channel, they had another good night. It seems like most of them have been really cleaning up with the Contender Series on Tuesday nights. I don't know if – do you think the odds are off, or what's the deal? Because people seem to be really raking in the dough. And case in point, you, 5-1 last night.
Yeah, and the one I missed, too, I will say, is one that I recognized I was probably picking the losing fighter, but I thought it was way closer to a coin flip, and the person who I thought might probably have more of a likelihood of losing was plus 300. So I was like, I'll give him a shot. And he looked good on the feet until he got mauled. So
You totally hedged and picked both fighters in that fight. So
yeah, I very
this guy's going to win, but bet on this guy.
Yeah, so, you know, that being the lone loss, the one where I was hedging and kind of liked the underdog, I'm fine with that. But to answer your further question, I don't think the odds have been way off on a lot of these fights. I think the beauty of the matchmaking on the Contender Series is we're seeing a lot of close odds. So, you know, take, for instance, Jack Della Maddalena beating Angelusa. You know, he's gotten off at like negative 125, which is, you know, it was a great number for him because, as he showed, his boxing was incredible. Jasmine Jesuta Vicious, you know, you could have gotten plus money on her when we recorded. She did get bet all the way into the negative, but you could have gotten plus money on her early. You know, I picked her. She won. Like, again, that was a tight fight, though. So, like, you get where the odds were. I think they were lined fine. The only one I will say that was lined terribly was the main event, where I was all over Jelton Jr. at like plus 175. And man, dude, did he look like he could be, you know, I don't know how closely you watched it, if it was just not in the background or had your full attention. I feel like he could be top 15 light heavyweights right now, like today.
Yeah, I saw we had a big storm last night and the satellite went out, of course, during the main event. So I saw like the first couple minutes of it. So I didn't see the finish, but he definitely, I think I might've seen the full first round, but yeah, he definitely looked long and strong and a very good fighter, basically in all aspects of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely looks like a nice, how old is he? Is he a young for light heavyweight or what?
I think he's a young light heavyweight. I want to say he's in his like late 20s, but let me get back to you on that because light heavyweights have a. Oh, he's 30. He's 30. That's young in light heavyweight terms. He's probably like the fifth youngest guy in the division. But like, he's you're right. Super long, 6'4", 79-inch reach. So he's got these really long, gangly long arms. And man, dude, he looked like a beast on the mat. It wasn't even the stand up that he got things done. He was taking down a guy who described himself like Khabib. And he basically got out Khabibed by the Brazilian. So, yeah, I'm excited about Jelton Jr. I'm really excited about Jack Della Maddalena because I thought his fight was not just a good performance for him, but it was, my God, it was nonstop action, which is a really fun kind of fighter to watch.
Right. And what's the deal with Mo Miller being the only fighter this season who won his fight and didn't get a contract?
So I would say if you go back to seasons one or two, even season three, and Mo Miller puts on that kind of performance, he doesn't get a contract, right? Like, that type of performance when this show started was not good enough for one. But also, neither was, like, seven of the guys who have won contracts in the last 2 weeks, right? Like, like Lucas Brezski shouldn't have won a contract either by those standards, right? And I get it. He's a heavyweight. But, my God, did he just, like, punch a guy who, like, enjoyed being punched in the head? Like,
and he's not really a heavyweight. Well, I guess he's a light heavyweight, too, so.
Anyway. Yeah, like, he's, like, a very light heavyweight who wasn't fast.
Cruiserweight. Yeah.
And then you signed him. And then, like, I mean, I talked about the week before. I thought it was just criminal, some of the people they signed the week before.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one guy who I thought had lost, I didn't think he had even won his fight. I do believe he was Canadian. Chad Helliger. I wouldn't have signed him. I wouldn't have signed Simon Oliveira. You know, and they just keep snatching all of these guys up. So it was weird to see that Mo Miller was finally the straw that broke the camel's back, and they were like, no, not this guy. Yes to losers, but not to Mo Miller. But the good news is he's only 6-0. He's a young guy. Yeah. He'll get his wins, and you'll see him back in there in a second.
Is it a Stipe thing? Because they seem to never get along very well with Stipe. Do you think they'll take that?
I don't know if you heard when he was doing the selection, you know, how he talked.
So I missed all of
that. It's funny, he actually brought up Stipe. For those of you who didn't see it, it was great. He's like, Stipe's been hitting me up and telling me about this guy, telling me he's great. And he's like, yeah, he's just not ready yet. And then he just, like, moved on.
I'm right, then.
Yeah, it very much could have been a Stipe little jab. But, like, also, like I said, like, previously, Mo Miller would not have done enough. Like, he looked good wrestling. He didn't look great striking. He smacked the Lewis around a little bit here and there, but, like, he would have had to have been way more active upon hitting the ground to get a decision that's mostly wrestling-based in any other Contender Series season. I was surprised that this season he didn't get it, though.
Yeah, you got to be a killer. You got to be a killer. So, putting a bow on it, who are you most excited about coming off of last night's show?
Jelton Judy. I probably will be more excited to see Jack Della Maddalena fight, but not because I think he's the second coming of Christ. It's mostly just because I think he's going to be one of those guys who, like, no matter who they're fighting, when they're fighting, you, like, want to watch them fight.
Yeah.
But Jelton Jr. in terms of, like, dude, this guy could turn heads right now. Like, put it this way. I would say if you put him in a fight with Johnny Walker tomorrow, no rest, he just turns around and fights Johnny Walker, I have to sit and think about who wins that fight. I don't automatically pick a top, what is Johnny Walker ranked, like 11th or 12th in the UFC's rankings. I don't immediately pick a top 10 to 15 type guy over this dude right now. I might think about taking the guy who literally just won a contract.
So what's the ceiling for him, do you think?
Is he championship in light heavyweight? I think he could be championship material. I would have to see more of him striking because it does seem like, you know, anybody who's going to win in the heavyweight division has to be able to turn your lights freaking off. And if you look back at his most recent records, he's mostly, like, taking guys down and subbing them with arm triangles or rear naked choke. So, you know, there could possibly be a ceiling there if he runs into somebody like a Stipe or like somebody who can stuff takedowns. But, man, like, his grappling game is so good, and you just don't get that in heavyweight anymore. Like, I can't remember the last time we were talking about a guy who, like, his pure jiu-jitsu was as good at heavyweight, because that's just, like, not a – or light heavyweight, rather. Yeah, it's just, like, not a light heavyweight trait, or it's not a heavyweight trait. It's neither of the big divisions do we see guys who are, like, jiu-jitsu aces. Like, Jacare came up from 85, but he really wasn't ever a 205-er. You know, heavyweight had Frank Mir, but, like, you don't see those guys who can, like, whose first thing they want to go to is jiu-jitsu, and you haven't seen him in a while, and you got it in Jelton Jr. at light heavyweight. So that's really exciting.
Yep. Another good night of Contender Series in the books for action and for money also, because people seem to clean up on it. All right, so we should probably move this train along. Choo choo. Who says things like that? Do I sound like someone, Dan?
You sound like Shockwave. Yeah. Exactly. My other host.
His other family. So, did you see that Mr. Jiu-Jitsu, Joseph Benavides, has retired? I know retirement means nothing, but he actually removed himself. He removed himself from the testing pool, so I take that more seriously because then it's a lot more work to actually come back because you have to actually be in the testing pool for 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is. So maybe he really is retired.
I think it's for real. He contemplated it for a while. And, like, his thing was always, like, I'm this close to another shot, I'm this close to another shot. He's not close to another shot again anymore. He's like 3 to 5 years away from a shot. Like, he's like that kind of run.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So anyhow, he was fun while it lasted. He had a awesome run, but he was a champ in no promotion. He didn't win belts anywhere, did he?
He didn't win a WEC belt either.
I don't think so. No. Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, that's crazy.
Good career regardless. He's one of those guys that'll be on one of those lists, best fighter to have never won a championship, for sure. So.
Yeah, he's probably, like, number one on that list right away.
Yep, very well could be, for sure. All right, before we move on, let me tell you about WinBet. Are you ready to win money? Of course you are. And boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts, make that, are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted parlays, there's that word, to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. That's right, $1,000. Risk-free. Download, bet, and win. Download the WinBet app today or visit WynNBet.com to start winning. $3,000. Can't beat that. Maybe before we get to UFC, I want to talk quickly about Bellator's got an event this weekend, Bellator 266. Do you have any quick thoughts on Phil Davis, Yoel Romero main event?
I don't.
Good, perfect. Who's going to win, Dan?
I think probably Yoel Romero, but it feels like it's been a really long time since we've seen him. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. You also have on that fight card, probably the most exciting fight on there is a lightweight fight between a guy who should be an Ultimate Fighter champion and like a guy fighting out his contract in hopes of going to the UFC. So that's kind of fun with Georgi Karakian, who is on his last fight of his UFC or his Bellator career, rather. Yeah. He's coming off of 2 straight wins where he's looked pretty good, 3 out of 4. His only losses in his last 5 fights are to AJ McKee and Miles Jury, and the Miles Jury one was a split, kind of questionable. And he's fighting should be Ultimate Fighter champion Saul Rogers, which is going to be a fun one.
There's Dan and his revisionist history again. So,
well, no, do you remember Saul Rogers should have been fighting? Who the hell was he? Was supposed to fight Artem Lobov for the Ultimate Fighter finale title. He couldn't get a visa into the U.S. because he's from England because he had some like sketchy criminal past. He hadn't revealed it to the UFC, so they got pissed off, released him, never gave him a fight, and then Ryan Hall came in and just as a replacement who had already lost to Saul Rogers. Yeah. And beast moded Artem Lobov. So who's to say Saul Rogers wouldn't have easily handled Artem Lobov?
Yeah, that's true. So the pick then is Yoel Romero at +115.
I think so. I mean, like I've never really been in on Phil Davis if I didn't truly believe he could take somebody down 40 times. And Yoel was a pretty good wrestler.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. It doesn't matter how old he is. He still is a scary, scary man. So, all right. I guess have I killed enough time? We have to get to this rip-roaring card, I guess.
We're gonna have fight. To fly through it.
We're going to have to fly through it because it's 15 fights. It's just what we want, 15 fights. Dan does. I don't know if anybody else does, but Dan does. UFC Fight Night, Smith versus Spann. We're probably going to call it UFC Vegas 37. That's where you'll see it called on the interwebs mostly. UFC Apex, as per usual, Saturday night, as per usual, start time. Actually, it's not a night time. This is an afternoon show.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, yeah. Prelims are at 4, right? And then the main card's at 7. is what I have, both on ESPN Plus, and we're talking Easter time there. So they think they can get all those prelim fights done in 3 hours. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, because we've got, what, 10 prelim fights on the card. Yeah. A lot of these are, one of these fights just got made last minute also. They couldn't have a fight fall off the card. No, they had to find a replacement right away. But anyhow, let's start off. Women's flyweights, Emily Whitmire versus Hannah Goldie. I believe Whitmire has been on the Top Turtle podcast. Has Goldie been on the podcast too?
She has not, but Whitmire has. Spitfire Whitmire has.
Yes, she used to talk about fighting in bars and stuff. In,
yeah, she
in events in bars when she was...
She fought Lisa Ellis in a grappling match in the middle of a bar, having never trained a day of jiu-jitsu, wrestling, or MMA in her life. And Lisa Ellis, for those who don't remember, pretty much a beast. Former UFC fighter Lisa Ellis.
Yep. Is she not Canadian also? I think she might be.
So she used to, her maiden name was Lisa Ward. I don't know if that helps or it means anything to anybody. Because then she married other UFC fighter, Fast Ellie Ellis, who is also on The Ultimate Fighter. But yeah, she might be Canadian. She was nice, so maybe she's Canadian.
<That's good. laughs> Probably. All right, Dan makes it all about The Ultimate Fighter once again. Nonstop. Every episode, it's The Ultimate Fighter.
Whitmire was on The Ultimate Fighter.
There you go. Spitfire. We got Spitfire Whitmire and Queen of Sparta, Goldie. I'll go with Spitfire Whitmire. That's fun to say.
Way better.
Way better. All right, let's break it down now. Oh, Goldie's also 24K, which is an okay nickname also. She is 5-2 with one knockout. She's never been finished in a fight. She's 0-2 in the UFC. She's 1-0 on the Dana White Contender Series. That's how she got into the big show. She's taking this fight on short notice. She's twice more active on the feet than Whitmire is. Lands strikes two times more strikes per minute, per 15 minutes, per fight, however you want to break it down, than Whitmire does. And she's at plus 100, so even money for her. Spitfire Whitmire, 4-4 with one submission. She has been tapped out herself four times. All of her losses have come via submission. She's 2-3 in the UFC. She's lost her last two, and both of them have come via submission, because that's the only way that she's lost in her career. Her last fight was last summer, August 2020. She, as Dan says, she was on The Ultimate Fighter, where she went 1-1. She's got an inch of height, 2 inches of reach, grappling stats in her favor, minus 125. Regardless of who you pick here, I say you pick this fight is going the distance. I think that's the safe bet, and then we'll see what Dan thinks on who he, and maybe me, will pick to actually win the fight.
I'm not positive I do like it by the distance. I'm going to say that ahead of time. Yeah, mostly because...
We have one finish, both of them.
Yeah, but mostly because I think Hannah Goldie is going to be brought into a portion of this fight that she is not going to like. You know, like if you look at her two UFC fights, which neither of them have looked really good, she fought two women who were willing to stand and trade with her the whole time, Deanna Belbita and Miranda Granger. She's not fighting that here. She's fighting somebody who wants to take her to the ground and rip her head off. And you're right, Whitmire hasn't done that a lot, but look at the names of the people Whitmire has fought. So, like, if you go back to when she was on The Ultimate Fighter, she fought Roxanne Modafferi, Jillian Robertson, Jamie Moyle and Alexandra Abu, a little bit less, although Abu was largely seen as a good prospect. Then Amanda Hibas and Pollyanna Viana. Like, she has fought some killers. And her pro debut was against Emily Ducote, who, you know, not for anything, is the Invicta champ now. She has fought an amazing run of fighters. So the fact that she doesn't have a submission on her record, many finishes on her record. She has one on The Ultimate Fighter, Christina Marks, and then she does have Albu. And, like, Albu might be the worst fighter she's fought since she's come to the UFC, like, to be fair. And I don't know that Goldie is better than Albu, especially because Goldie likes to, like, use her big muscles to bully people and put them up against the cage and be the tougher fighter. And, like, I just don't think she's, like, as technically sound as Whitmire here, and I think Whitmire puts her on her back and kind of just controls her any way she wants. It wouldn't be shocking to me, though, just to say, you know, Goldie could possibly put herself in a bad position and get subbed.
Okay. I'll go Whitmire decision. Dan's going Whitmire submission, maybe, if you want some extra dough.
I like Whitmire here just as, like, a plain pick, but then, like, yes, I would consider, if I was going to look for a prop, I bet you the prop for her to get a submission, and we'll talk about it at the end, is very large. So yeah. I like her to win, period. And then if I was going to mess with a prop, that's probably what I'd mess with.
All right, messing with props. Bantamweights, Gustavo Lopez, Healy Alatang. Gustavo does not have a nickname. Gustavo's a pretty good name to begin with. Alatang is the Mongolian knight. Let's break her down, shall we? We'll go with Lopez first. 12-6, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. He has been KO'd himself 3 times, so half of his losses have come via knockout. He is 1-2 in the UFC. He swapped losses, loss, win, loss over his 3-fight reign there. He got KO'd in his last fight. He also fought in Bellator, where he was 1-0. He also fought in Combate America, where he was the champion in bantamweight, the bantamweight division. What else can I tell you about him? He's got an inch of reach over Alatang, and he's plus 100, so another even money fight. Before we started recording, Dan mentioned how close the odds are. This is there's a whole lot of close fights on this card, so we're going to put that out there in case we blow all our picks this week. It's because it's just too close to call. But we're on a hot streak, and we're gonna try to keep her going. All right, Alatang, 14-8-1 with 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 3 times also. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He lost his last fight after winning his first 2. He also was in 1 championship where he won his lone fight there. He used to fight at flyweight. He's up at bantamweight now. He's 2 years younger, more active striker, minus 125. I'm leaning Alatang, but I can always be persuaded, Dan.
Are you going to persuade me? That's your kind way of saying I'm going to trail you on this pick.
Maybe.
If you're going to trail me on this pick, you got to switch because I'm going to go with Gustavo Lopez. Yeah.
Okay, tell me why.
For a couple of reasons here. So, first of all, if you looked at Haile Alatang's last fight versus his first 2, you went from a guy who loved to wrestle and was largely making making hay by wrestling all the time. And then he fights Casey Kenney, who, first of all, can wrestle a little bit. But, like, Alatang didn't even look interested in wrestling. He looked interested in being kicked in the ribs 450 times and didn't even – it looked like it never crossed his mind that, hey, maybe I shouldn't get kicked in the ribs anymore. And that, to me, is, first of all, alarming because it seems to be a flaw in his fight IQ and his ability to, you know, take the fight where he needs to, and he just kind of sticks to a strict game plan. Plus, I really don't like the way he strikes. He seems to wait for somebody to throw big bombs and try to counter him. And Gustavo Lopez is going to throw those big bombs. However, Gustavo Lopez puts lights out with those big bombs. Like, if you look back to his time in Combate, like, he throws big punches. And, you know, you mentioned he's 1-2, and you mentioned he's got some losses before he came to the UFC. Look at who those losses are to. Like, in the UFC, he's lost to Adrian Yanez, who's 3-0 and just had an amazing career striking. He lost to Merab Dvalishvili in his debut. That's right. They gave him Merab Dvalishvili in his debut. It's one of the most criminal things I've seen. Then you look at his fights in Combate or King of the Cage or wherever else he lost fights. Andre Ewell, John Castaneda, those guys, both UFC guys. And the only other one I can see here is Jose Alde, who was just on the Contender Series looking really good. So he's only fought really high-level competition, and he actually came back and knocked out Jose Alde with one of those big aforementioned punches. So I just really like his punching power in this fight. I think Alatang doesn't wrestle enough or as much as he should. And even if he does here, I don't know that he has enough success against Lopez that he avoids that big blow later on in the fight.
Well, obviously Lopez is the pick. That's what I said all along. So. Gustavo Lopez. It's plus money, too, so you sold me. Fine. Sold. See if you can do any selling on the next one. Welterweights, Impa Kasangane.
Yes, I was hoping you'd trip up on that one.
versus Carlston Harris. Say Impa's nickname, Dan. Shilobo.
It's just Shilobo. You don't say
Say Harris's
nickname. Is it Mozambique?
Mozambique, yes, you're right. Which one do you like best?
What nickname? I like Shilobo.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
He told me the story behind it one time, too. It's a Congolese word that means, or a Congolese dialect, rather, that means he who is under God or warrior under God or something like that.
Okay, yeah, that's a winner for sure. All right, we'll break down Harris first. 16-4, 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. 1-0 in the UFC, he won via submission. He's won 4 straight fights. He's got an inch of height, inch of reach on Kasanganang, and he's plus 100. Kasangane is a great name to say. Kasangane. It has sang right in it, and you can sing it when you say it. Tishilobu. Tishilobu is a good one to say, too. He is 9-1 with three submissions. See, he's one of those guys where, in my head, I think he's a knockout artist, and he's never knocked anybody out. He's one of those. There's people like that. Like Brad Tavares, I think the same thing, but he doesn't knock people out either.
No, I don't think that about Brad Tavares, but I get what you mean about Aimee Kasangane.
Yeah, just seems that way. But no, three submissions, no knockouts. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He has swapped wins, loss, win. He did win via submission his last fight. He had two kicks at the can on the Dana White Contender Series and won both those fights. He's 7 years younger, three times more active striker, -125. I'll ride with him. Big age difference, more active striker. And I think he's better unless Dan convinces me otherwise.
No, I agree with you on this one. For me, the big reason why I like Kasangane in this fight is because Carlston Harris might be a little bit better of a grappler. I think his submission skills are probably even a little bit better than Kasangane's. The difference is I don't think he can wrestle Impa, especially with Impa coming down to 170, where he's going to be bigger, he's going to be stronger. And, you know, because he's fought a couple of those other fights up at 185, although I think the Sasha Plotnikov fight was still at 170. But he's bigger and he's stronger in that division. And the improvements he made last time with Sanford MMA in all facets of the game, whether it be wrestling or you know, cleaning up his striking, which was already pretty damn clean, I just think he's going to be too much for Carlston Harris everywhere else. So, yeah, I like him in this one, and I probably like him to win by decision because, like you said, he hasn't knocked anybody out, and I don't think subbing Carlston Harris is a real possibility.
Yeah, nope. Makes sense to me. Also makes sense to me? Using Prop Swap, because we're brought to you by Prop Swap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. When making your bet, or bets, plural, always make sure to go for two, which means make two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets in PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. And we got a new sponsor, Keeps. Welcome aboard, Keeps. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions. Discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more five-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/SGP to get your first month free. That's keeps.com/SGP. That's a lot of spelling for me. I'm worn out now. All right. Let's move on to a fight that Dan, a debut that we're both looking forward to here in the women's flyweight division. Erin Blanchfield would be the fighter in question, and she's fighting the Jake Paul-backed Sarah Alper. We got cold-blooded Blanchfield and too sweet Alper.
They're both great nicknames.
Too sweet.
I would say for me, if we're picking the best nickname out of this pair, I think you got to go with too sweet because I think it's better fitting for her demeanor.
Yes.
Because while Erin Blanchfield's submission skills, as we're about to talk about, are cold-blooded, she's also like kind of like a cheery fighter. She doesn't seem all that cold-blooded, whereas Sarah Alper is very sweet. She's like one of the nicest people I've ever interviewed.
Could be secretly Canadian. She's not, but you never know. Maybe somewhere in her bloodline, she's Canadian. If she's funny also, then she's definitely Canadian. All right, let's break her down, shall we? Too sweet. She's 9-5 with 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's 0-1 in the UFC. She got TKO'd in her fight. That was almost exactly a year ago, September 2020. She was 1-0 in the Contender Series. She used to fight at bantamweight. This one's down at flyweight. She's at plus 240, and she famously started a GoFundMe campaign so she could actually train like a professional athlete, like she actually is, instead of trying to live off the $10,000 she made off her one UFC fight. And Triller and Jake Paul stepped up and gave her a bunch of money. So that's why I said she's Jake Paul backed. Erin Blanchfield, she's cold-blooded, as mentioned. She would have, Dan mentioned this, I think it was off air. Everything's a blur now, but she would have made our top fighters under 25 list if she had made her UFC debut when we did that podcast last week, because she's cold-blooded and good. She's 6-1 with 2 knockouts, 1 submission. She's never been finished in a fight. This is her debut. She has extensive experience already. She's 4-1 in Invicta, basically the biggest women's fighting organization in the world. She's won 3 straight fights. She is a BJJ champion. She won the Eddie Bravo Invitational against a bunch of killers. You can actually read about that on MMA-manifesto.com. A wise person wrote an article on Erin Blanchfield, why she will be the breakout star of this prelims on Saturday. What else can I tell you about her? 3 inches reach, 8 years younger, because she's what, 20, how old is she? 22, 23, I think, something like that.
22.
Yeah. 22, yes. She's a baby. Minus 325. Big number, but I will take her.
Yeah, I think this is a kind of an easy one. Alper coming down to 125 is at least intriguing to me. Like, I'm interested to see how she looks, because I always think she looked kind of outsized up at bantamweight. So she's going to look a little bit more fit for this division. And it'll be interesting to see how she did it, too. You know, did she get you know, really strong? Did she add muscle in addition to dropping off some of the fat? Like, it'll be fascinating to me, but Blanchfield is a prospect I've been really high on. I didn't like the fact that they originally had her debuting at 135 against Norma Dumont, who had fought all the way up at 45. Luckily, that fight fell off, so she can take a real debut here at 25. But her, like you said, her grappling is incredible. She's found a way to mix them together. She's been fighting as an amateur since she was 18. She won Eddie Bravo Invitational when she was 18 against people like, you know, Talia Alencar and Fifian Davis, who are like two very good women's grapplers. And granted, it was a little while ago, so I'm not even sure Fifian was a black belt at that time. But Blanchfield was only a purple belt at that time, and she won one of the bigger jiu-jitsu tournaments that existed at that time. So props to her. She's a great grappler. And I think, too, she's a nightmare matchup for Alper, because Alper likes to get in close range, try to get it, make it real messy, try to, like, maybe push you up against the cage, score takedowns that way. It doesn't even matter if she's on top of Blanchfield. She doesn't want to be on the ground with Blanchfield. And, like, Alper's striking is kind of not where it needs to be in order to, you know, make that her modus operandi for her fight career. So, yeah, I just think, like, it's unfortunate because Alper wants this fight in the one place I feel like there's no chance of beating Erin Blanchfield. So, yeah, I like Erin Blanchfield here. I would also, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about props later on, but I will be searching for an Erin Blanchfield subprop for sure.
And despite outweighing her by, what, 80 pounds, you said you think she would tap you out.
Oh, Erin Blanchfield? Or Sarah Alper?
Yeah, sorry. No, you said Erin Blanchfield was.
Yeah. Erin Blanchfield. Yeah, no, I think her submission skills would tap me out. She trains with, like, the Henzo Gracie team in the Blue Base Fit. She's like, she is the real deal when it comes to grappling. Anybody who wins an Eddie Bravo Invitational deserves to have, you know, a lot of respect on that name. Never mind doing it when you're 18 years old against some, like, real superstars.
So if she fought Bartosz Fabinski, she would, like, rip his limbs off him, right?
She would definitely choke him with a guillotine when he shot a sloppy double leg takedown, because that seems to just be what happens to that poor guy. Also, I will note that you took Bartosz Fabinski in the aforementioned fight where we're talking about loving Bartosz Fabinski and thinking I could beat him. And I took, do you remember who beat him?
No, you. Was it you?
No, it was my man. It was my man, Gerald Mearshart, who continuously proves me right.
Yes, exactly. He's that guy. All right, let's move to bantamweight, shall we? Montel Jackson versus JP Bays, even though it's spelled Bays. I know it's Bays. Dan taught me that.
You nailed it.
I did.
You?
So we got Quick Jackson, misspelled Q-U-I-K, versus Young Savage. I don't like either of them.
I like Quick. Montel Quick Jackson.
Even though it's spelled wrong? Come on, Dan.
He was trying to spell it too quick.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Very good.
Dad jokes are strong today.
Very good. You must be secretly Canadian also. Almost, right? Close to the border.
Yeah, we're close.
Living in the woods, you may as well be Canadian. All right. The Young Savage is 9-3. That would be base. 9-3 with 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. So he is a finisher for a lightweight dude. Lighter weight dude. Make that. He's been knocked out himself twice and submitted once. So all of his losses have come via a finish. He is 0-1 in the UFC, got TKO'd. He was 1-1 in the Contender Series. He's taking this fight on short notice. He usually fights at flyweight, so he's probably taking this one up at bantamweight so he doesn't have to cut as much weight or any weight. He is 4 years younger, plus 410. And his family is $50,000 richer because his wife won the bonus last time she fought a few months back. Jackson, 10-2, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. He is 4-2 in the UFC. He's won 4 of his last 5. He won his last fight via TKO. He did miss weight in the past, though. He's 1-0 on the Contender Series. He used to fight at lightweight and featherweight. So this one's at bantamweight. So he's definitely going to be the bigger man. 5 inches of height, 8 inches of reach, plus guarantee he's going to weigh a bunch more when it comes to fight night. He's got the better striking stats, and he's a more active striker. Better grappling stats. He's basically a slam dunk pick here, but he's minus 600, but I'll take it regardless.
Yeah, I'm upset that he's that large of a favorite.
And yeah, me too.
We couldn't give him earlier, but like this is as easy as a pick as exists on this card. No offense to Baze. He's fighting a guy who is so much bigger than him, so much longer than him, isn't taking this fight on short notice because, you know, Montel Jackson was supposed to fight Danah Baggerel. It is just like... does a phenomenal job of stuffing wrestling and forcing people into his realm. And like Baze, that's exactly what Baze is going to try to do as a shorter, less good grappler. I mean, Montel Jackson should demolish him here.
There you go. Easy pick. Moving, which means we're going to be wrong. Moving on. A couple of newcomers, lightweights, Nicholas Mota versus, or is it Mota? Mota.
I think it's Mota. Mota.
Mota versus Cameron Van Camp. We got Iron Mota versus the Invader Van Camp.
That's the nickname you saw for Van Camp? Because he also sometimes goes by like the human highlight reel, I think I saw.
No, something different. You're getting your fight. He's coming up next. Don't worry.
No, you're right. That is a different guy. Sorry. I got that one mixed up. The human highlight reel is coming up. Well, just hold, please.
Dominic Wilkins is coming up. Dominic Wilkins. So anyhow, Invader versus Iron Mota. What does Iron Mota mean?
I mean, iron and then his last name?
Yes, exactly.
It's like Iron Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if I would like either of these nicknames. I'm going to pass. All right. The Invader with Van Camp. What can I tell you about him? He's taking this is his debut. He's taking it on short notice. So that is not a good thing. Let's check the stats. Late replacement. They're winning at 40% rate at this point since 2020, 49-72. So a very not good rate of winning, I guess. That's kind of English what I said. He's 15-5-1 with 1 no contest. He's got 4 knockouts, 9 submissions. So he is a finisher. That's one thing going for him. He's won 4 straight fights. That's another thing going for him. He's 5 inches taller. Hey, that's another thing going for him. I don't know the reach advantage or disadvantage because I don't have his reach listed anywhere. He's at plus 260. Iron Mota, 12-3, 8 knockouts. He's also a finisher. He's been knocked out himself twice and submitted once. So all of his losses have come via finish. This is also his debut. He came in via the Contender Series where he won. He's won 3 straight fights, minus 280. I'll go with another big favorite here with Iron Mota.
Yeah, I'm going to take Mota here too. I think the difference for me in this one is that Van Camp, he probably has some pretty decent wrestling and maybe even has like a wrestling advantage, but when it hits the mat, I don't know that he's a better submission specialist or does better there. So like it might behoove him to stay on the feet, and I think Mota hits harder too. So like pretty much all I see that Van Camp has is the ability to take the fight anywhere, and I don't think he has an advantage anywhere. So like what do you do if that's the case? And the short notice thing bothers me as well. You know, Mota was preparing for Jim Miller. So if this guy comes in and has some decent wrestling, well, guess what? He's been preparing for Jim fucking Miller. So if the UFC was ready to put a guy making his debut up against Jim Miller, I think a guy on short notice is probably not going to give him too many problems, especially because he might go in with like a Jim Miller-esque game plan here too, which is, you know, means that Moda has basically been preparing for a better version of Van Camp.
Jim Miller's parents gave him that nickname for real. That middle name?
Fucking Miller? Yeah, wow. Fucking Miller. Do you know this is the first time he's had to back out of a fight in 50 fights?
50, yes, that's why I like Jim Miller. It's one of the many reasons to like Jim Miller. There's also many reasons to like PicksWise and also to like my segues. PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport. Loaded with best bets, props, make that, and parlays, you can find in-depth analysis on every game, all for free. Found your pick? Search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up an account, compare the odds, and finally place your bet. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, G-A-M-B-L-E-R. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, my favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. Can I give you an example? I don't even know who's playing in baseball tonight, but basically, for baseball, usually the props are set at, for batters, set at 1.5, meaning they were going to get more, you're betting on whether they're going to get more than two or more than one, make that hits plus walks. So if a guy gets a hit and a walk, then it's over. If he just gets one hit, it's an under, that type of thing. So if you nail 3 of those over-unders and you bet $20, that would be called the power play option. You win $100. That's 5 times your money. Pretty good deal if you ask me. So here's another even better deal for you. Use promo code SGP to receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. That's Prize Picks, promo code SGP. I'm bungling all the ads today, even worse than normal. Let's move on to the human highlight reel, shall we? Stepping in at, as of today, he stepped into this fight. This would be lightweights. We lost Dakota Harry Bush, sadly. I had lots of good material for that. But instead we get what's Brandon, the human highlight reel, Jenkins versus Zhu Rong, whose name, maybe one name, maybe two names, could be Rong Zhu. It depends how we want to say it. All right. No, you haven't seen lines for this, right? Yet I haven't seen lines anywhere yet.
I have not yet. I was looking at a couple of places, but they had not popped up at the time of going to recording. Oh, there's one. Yeah. I got one right now. So I'll give you, look at how the turntables have turned.
How the turntables have turned.
The current.
You just said how the turntables. How the turntables have turned is a new expression.
It's a quote from The Office, my friend. You got to get a bunch of Office quotes.
I might have tapped out by that. Was that a later Office? Because I can't remember what season I ended up tapping out. But
yeah, I think it might have been a later one. I'm not that good. Right. I do have the quotes, but I don't have the season down on all of them yet. So anyway.
You sure know a lot about TV for a guy who didn't have TV. I guess you've gorged on TV since you got out of that.
Live in the streaming
cabin age,
my friend. Yeah, that's now true. You can catch up on all the shit that you didn't get to listen or watch that's when you true. Were a kid.
All right, I'll give you the stats. Dan, I'll give you the numbers when I'm done, all right? Let's break down. The new guy, Jenkins, just stepped in. Dan said he had to do some research on him, so I'm thinking Dan may not even know about this guy. But no, he probably does. He fought in LFA. He fought in PFL. He's a human highlight reel. His last fight actually was a highlight reel. He won via flying knee KO in PFL. That was just 3 weeks ago. So he's taking this on very short notice. Like, we're recording this Wednesday evening, and the fight was just announced a few hours ago. As a pro, he's 14-6 with 9 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's won 2 straight fights. He's 3 inches taller than Rong, and he's got 1 inch of reach. As for Rong, 17-4, 11 knockouts, 4 submissions. So good chance we're going to get a finish here, perhaps. Both the guys are finishers. He's lost by submission 3 times himself, so 3 of his 4 losses have come via submission. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He's 9 years younger than Jenkins. What kind of lines we got here, Dan?
So I'm seeing right now the opening lines. You can get them on 5. Oops, sorry, I'm not supposed to say the names of places, right?
Unless they pay us. Only ones that pay us, we say.
So one of the books that might exist, and I hopefully didn't give it away with the leading word there, is giving us Zhu Rong at -350, Brandon Jenkins, the late replacement, +260 on the comeback.
All right. Tell us what you did. You actually have to do lots of research on Jenkins, or do you remember him from his various performances in semi-big promotions?
I had to remind myself who he was, because when I first heard his name, and they were like, "Oh, they signed Jenkins over from PFL." For some reason, I thought Bubba Jenkins.
Yeah.
And I was like, exactly. Oh, shit, that is a crazy good late second replacement. And then I realized it said Brandon, and I'm like, is that Bubba Jenkins' real first name? Because it can't be Bubba, right? Like,
no. Well, I don't know. Jim Miller's got – Jim Miller has a weird middle name, so you never know.
I think his name is actually Bubba, if I'm not mistaken. Amazing. Like, it might actually be that. So anyway – So it took me a second to realize who he was, and then somebody was like, oh, it's the guy who hit the switch kick knee, because I don't know if you saw that, like, jumping knee that he knocked him out with. It was actually, like, a modified switch kick that landed with a knee on – oh, the guy was in the UFC, too. What was his name? Jacob Kilburn. Kilburn, who had been on Top Turtle, so I should have remembered his name. So
that's then why he got switch knee knocked out.
Yeah, so I went back and I looked at a few more of his fights just to – see if that was kind of the norm for his style. And man, is it the norm for his style? The nickname, the human highlight reel, maybe doesn't even do him justice. Everything he throws is spinning. He looks like he's going to spin or jump at pretty much every moment of every fight. And for that reason, he's kind of hard to figure out whether or not he is good or not. He's weird, that's for sure. I was high on Zhu Rong before he came to the UFC. I, like, thought he was going to make a really good debut. Looked kind of tentative in his first fight. It wasn't really great. I have faith that maybe the Octagon jitters are gone. It's going to be less people watching him this time because he originally was in, like, one of those packed arenas in Florida or something like that. Yeah. I thought Dakota Bush was a terrible matchup for him because if Bush came in and, like, put him up against the cage and wrestled him up, I think Rong would have had a lot of trouble with that. But this guy who's just going to kind of, like, flail far away from him, I think that's actually kind of built for Rong because it's going to let Rong have the openings he wants, and he could probably stay safe relatively easy because not for anything. I think the Jenkins punches and kicks are kind of telegraphed. You can kind of see him spinning coming. So even at negative 330 with not a lot of good feeling about Jenkins at this point, I'm still going to take Zhu Rong.
Yeah, same with me. I was going to take – I had Bush penciled in but to beat Rong, but sadly, we lost that fight. All right, moving on because I had a lot of good jokes. So that's why I'm sad about it. Anyhow, bantamweights, another bantamweights. Nate Maness versus Tony Gravely. Mayhem Maness is the only nickname we got going here. Mayhem is 13-1 with 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's won both of his UFC fights. He won his last fight via submission. He's won 3 straight fights overall. He's 5 inches taller than Gravely. Is it Gravely or Gravely? I think it's Gravely.
You had it right. You had it right. Don't doubt yourself ever.
Oh, ever, yes. Never and ever, for sure. All right, 5 inches taller is Maness. Is Maness or Maness, Dan?
It's Maness. You're right.
3 inches of reach. He's got the grappling stats in his favor. He's at plus 155. Gravely, 21-6 with 9 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's lost 5 times via submission himself, so that definitely is his Achilles heel here. 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights after dropping his debut. He won via TKO his last fight. He also won in the Contender Series. He's 1-0 there. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 195. I will take the better striker in Gravely here.
Nice. We get to differ on one, and you're not going to trail me then because you sounded
taking a grappler, finally. Of course you're taking a grappler.
I actually think Gravely grapples more than Maness, and I think that's why I like Maness in this fight. It's because, first of all, Maness comes from a wrestling background, but he mostly uses it to keep his feet, and he is actually a much more polished striker than people give credit for. He switches stances a lot when he fights. It really mixes up the looks. And in addition to having good wrestling defense, I think the fact that he changes stances so often messes with other fighters. Gravely's also a very muscly guy. He's been known to tire as fights go, whereas Maness has a great gas tank. So if Gravely is the one shooting a whole bunch of takedowns, especially if he's not getting much top time and he's having to work hard for those takedowns, I expect him to tire a lot as the fight goes on. And with Maness already kind of having a good I mean, like, he puts together good combinations and sort of just builds his punches up as he feels more and more comfortable. I think he's just going to, like, absolutely pour it on Gravely as this fight goes. I think he could have success early, but I also think he just absolutely pours it on him as he goes.
You're on that Joe Rogan muscles make you tired kick, aren't you?
I mean, it's true with Gravely, though. Like, not for anything. If you look back at his loss in the UFC to Brett Johns, like, that was late in the third round. It was after he had tried to wrestle with Brett Johns nonstop for the whole fight. And, I mean, like, if you go back to, you know, previous fights, too, the loss to Manny Bermudez way back when was kind of like that. Mirab Dvalishvili kind of beat him up like that way back in the day. He's only lost to good dudes, but they're good dudes who can wear him out. And I think Nate Maness is kind of in that same kind of ballpark.
All right, you go drink your horse dewormer, and we'll move on to the next fight. Do you drink horse dewormer? I don't know. How do you take that? How do you?
I don't know. I've never had. It's surprising. This is going to surprise some listeners, some regular listeners. I've never had a horse.
Really? Not even you haven't found a wild horse roaming in the woods and
in the wildlife in the wild. Massachusetts. No, exactly. Surprisingly, very few horses out here.
All right. Have you ever tried Mint Mobile, though? Because you should if you haven't. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/sportsgp. So sport SGP. That's mintmobile.com/sportsgp. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/sportsgp. I kind of didn't butcher that one. That was good. Not so bad. I'm warming up.
On the back.
I only got like two more ad reads to go, too. I'm just getting warmed up, though. Women's bantamweight. Let's talk about that, shall we? Penny Kayanzad versus Rocky Raquel Pennington. So we got Rocky Pennington, Bonzai Kayanzad. I'm going with Bonzai all day, every day.
Yeah, that's a good nickname. Bonzai Kayanzad is fun to say.
Yeah, too. It's a great, great name to say. 15-5, she is, with three knockouts. 4-2 in the UFC over two stints. She, just got one fight, I think, off? She lost her debut, and then they cut her, I believe, after winning, going 2-0 on the Ultimate Fighter. She has won four straight fights, so she is on a roll. She also fought in Invicta, where she was 2-3. She also fought in Cage Wars, where she was the champion. She's 3 years younger than Rocky, more active striker, plus 105. Pennington, 11-8, with one knockout, three submissions. 8-5 in the UFC. She has swapped win-loss-win over her last three fights, so she did win her last one. She's won two of her last three, but they're her only two wins over her last five fights in total. She has missed weight in the past. She was also on the Ultimate Fighter, where she was 2-1. She also was in Invicta, where she's 1-2. She's got an inch of reach on Kayanzad, better grappling stats, minus 130. I'm going to go with some underdog money here. I'm going to take Kayanzad at plus 105.
Well, we're going to agree on that. I'm also going to go with Kayanzad. I think in this fight, it pretty much comes down to, while it's standing and at range, Kayanzad is going to light Rocky's face up regularly. Rocky is going to try to close the distance, hold her against the cage, maybe even try to take her down. I think she's going to have some success there. But at the end of every round, you're going to have to ask yourself, are you going to take Rocky Pennington's head getting whipped back 7 or 8 times with good jabs and good 1-2s? Or are you going to take the 3 minutes that she was holding her against the cage and landed two knees to the inside of Kayanzad's leg? And I think the judges are going to weigh the whipping her head back and jacking her face up a little bit more heavily. So I just like Peony Kayanzad for that reason. I think the success in the striking is going to overcome whatever success that Pennington has in the grappling. And, yeah, like you said, dog money doesn't hurt either.
Nope. We will take it. And we're finally hitting the end of our prelims here, our prelim main event. Light heavyweights, Mike Rodriguez versus Tafon Inchukwi. We got Slow Mike and the Cameroon Express, or Dadon, also he's known as. I'll take Slow Mike because calling athlete Slow is great.
You don't like Dadon?
I like Dadon. Is good too.
All right, like Cameroon Express is not good, but I'm going to go with Dadon.
All right. Let's see if you go with him in the fight. Rodriguez is 11-6 with one no contest, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. All of his wins have come via finish. He's been submitted himself 3 times. He's 2-4 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's lost his last 2 fights in the UFC via submission. He's only won 1 of his last 4. He was also in the Contender Series where he was 1-0. 4 inches taller, 5 inches of reach, plus 105. The Don is 5-1 with 4 knockouts. So there's a big experience gap here between the two. He's never been finished in a fight. He's 1-1 in the UFC, lost his last fight. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series as well. He's 6 years younger, more active striker, better grappling stats, minus 130. I'll take Dadon.
Oh, good. We're going to get another difference here then.
Oh, you're taking Slow Mike, are you?
I'm going to take Slow Mike Rodriguez. I think here a couple of things. First of all, Chukwi's gas tank is not good. It's really bad.
Gas tanks.
But I mean, like, dude, in a light heavyweight fight where you're looking at a guy who's pretty much made his whole career out of knocking people out, right? Yeah. He made it into the second round barely twice. And apart from that, the dude has never been deep into a fight, except for his last 2, where he failed to knock out Jamie Pickett and wound up in a competitive fight by the 3rd round. That's right, Jamie Pickett, the same guy who got beat on the Contender Series like 100 times, took him into a 3rd round and arguably was probably getting the better of him as the fight went on. Then he fights Jung-Yong Park and is so tired at the end of that fight that he continues to concede the same exact takedown 150 straight times because he's just too tired to do anything about it. Like, there's gas tanks that you can question, and there's ones that are bad, and Chukwi's is bad. So then you take both of those things into consideration, that he's knocked out crappy guys on the regional circuit, guys who make mistakes, and now he has to step in with real fighters in the UFC, and he's not able to land his big blow anymore. And he's also going to be standing 100 million miles away from Mike Rodriguez, who, while the numbers may not say that the difference is all that much, I mean, like, Rodriguez is 82.5 inches of reach. He's 77. That's 5.5. It's going to feel like more than that, too, because Rodriguez has got incredibly long legs and he uses them. It's going to be so hard for Chukwi to get close enough to Rodriguez to land that big bomb, which means he's going to have to outpoint him. And, like, do you think he's going to outpoint Mike Rodriguez? I don't. So, for those reasons, I think Mike Rodriguez is a great pick here, and I actually think he could probably get a finish late if this goes late. That's another one of the props I'm tracking.
I don't like my pick. I hate that you make me feel bad about it, Dan. But
I like when you go in hard on a pick right when you make it, too, because then I know you're not going to change it.
No, I can't now. I can't. All right, well, we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully Dadon comes through for me. You know who always comes through for us, Dan? Odds Crowd. They always come through. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? The folks at Odds Crowd are challenging you to prove it this football season with their epic free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Each week of the season, there is a $350 NFL contest and a $250 contest. The boys here at SGPN are all taking part, so you can try to claim bragging rights over us, too. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick trading app. Most profitable players rise up the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. And Odds Crowd isn't just fantasy betting contests. It's a social app for sports bettors. Free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to oddscrowd.com today. And if you haven't already, make sure you download the SGPN app, of course. We are now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It gives you easy access to all our picks, podcasts, news, articles, promos, everything you need. You get a notification every time a MMA gambling podcast episode drops. Make sure you download the app and review it and all that good stuff, please and thank you. All right. Odds are prelims are done, ad reads are done. Let's power through with the main card, which, like I said earlier, hours and hours ago, it's going to be starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Middleweights, Joaquin Buckley versus Antonio Arroyo. We got new Mansa is Buckley and Arroyo is nothing. So obviously Buckley wins the nickname game. Arroyo 9-4 with 4 knockouts, 4 submissions, 0-2 in the UFC. 2-0 in the Contender Series, 5 inches taller than Buckley. Grappling stats in his favor, +165. Buckley is 12-4 with 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself 3 times. He's 2-2 in the UFC. He got knocked out himself his last fight. He also was a Bellator where he was 3-2. He's 3 inches taller, 5 years younger, more active striker, -210. Now I'm scared to make my picks before Dan because he'll mock me. So, Dan, who you got in this one?
No. Go ahead and do it.
Buckley.
Yeah, I'm going with Buckley, too. Yeah, You're not taking the grappler, really. No, I'm not taking the grappler here, mostly because he's shown against a couple of people who have decent grappling defense that he's not really all that great of a grappler. Darren Wynn kind of had his way with him in before that, Andre Muniz. And, like, Muniz is really good, but, like, I don't know. I haven't been really impressed with Darren Wynn yet so far in his career. So, you know, like, that gives me a pause. If you're a grappler who has trouble grappling against some people, there's obviously reason to be worried there. Also, not for anything, Buckley's got 100% takedown defense in his career. He has stuffed every single takedown that people have shot his way. And granted, it hasn't been a lot, but he did stop who is it, the one that he stopped? Was it Jordan Wright, the freaking ninja? Yeah,
The Beverly Hills Ninja?
He stopped the Beverly Hills Ninja.
Who Dan hates. That's one of your guys that you hate.
Plus, Buckley knocked out the Beverly Hills Ninja. So, you know, I gotta throw some props up to him and pick him for the rest of his life. So he stuffs takedowns, you know, granted, maybe not ones of people Antonio Arroyo's level, but also, like, I do believe in his striking. It didn't look awful against Kevin Holland. He's creative. He uses the leg kicks. Yeah, I just think I'm going to go with Buckley's striking here.
He believes in you, Buckley. He believes in your striking. So do I. All right, moving on to a guy who we mentioned on the aforementioned Best Fighters 25 and Under, which was last podcast, which was 72, if you want to hear that episode. That would be Armin Tsarukyan. That's who it is. Versus Christos Giagos, who I've been tipped off that Giagos is on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. Dan's other podcast, and actually I was going to say that means he's going to lose, but I think we decided the jinx is over, so who knows.
I think the jinx is over, but I don't think that's going to save him.
tell me Armin's nickname, Dan.
Armin Tsarukyan's nickname, it's Tsarukyan, by the way.
I know, you got to... Like,
I don't think I know his nickname off the top of my head.
Ahalkalaketes. Ahalkalaketes. So, yeah, that's his nickname.
You almost had it there.
Almost, yeah, almost nailed it. That's like a Greek sounding nickname. He's not Greek, though. Let's go Giagos first. 19-8, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been subbed himself 4 times. 5-4 in the UFC over 2 shots. He's won his last 2 fights, though, and 4 of his last 5, so he's on a roll. So they fed him to a monster here. He won via submission his last fight, 3 inches taller, +500 if you want to take him. Armin is 16-2 with 5 knockouts, 5 submissions, 3-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights after dropping his debut to Islam Makhachev, which was you were talking earlier about impossible debuts. How's that for a debut?
That's brutal. And actually, the next 3 fights for him weren't any less brutal either.
How old was he when he debuted, too? Probably was like 20 or something?
If it was 2019, I think it would have been 22. Yeah.
All right, what else can I tell you about him? He has missed weight in the past. He's got an inch of height, 6 years younger than Giagos. Striking and active striking stats in his favor is -800. I'll take him. I'm not going to throw any real money at -800, but I'll take him to win.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he's that big of a favorite, but it makes perfect sense. Look, Giagos looks really good in his wrestling lately, and he's just going to be completely outmatched here. I like Christos quite a bit. Like I said, I interviewed him a few times. He's really nice. He moved to Sanford MMA. That's a great move for his career. He's won 4 out of 5. He's just not going to be in the same ballpark of wrestling as Armin Tsarukyan. I expect Tsarukyan to take him down whenever he wants and probably win a decision here.
Did you tell him all this when you interviewed him?
I don't. I tend to I tend not to mention it to fighters when I'm going to pick against them, if I can help it. And then hopefully they don't listen to every single podcast I record.
Yes, hopefully not. who would do that anyway? Only true losers would listen to all your podcasts, Dan. Actually, I technically don't listen because I don't.
Yeah,
listen
you
to
don't
this
listen
one,
to this one. Yeah, you don't listen to this one because you can't stand to listen yeah. back to it. So you don't listen to all my podcasts. You're not a loser.
All right. Whew, thank God. I was worried there. All right. You know who else aren't losers? The next two fighters. One of them will be a loser come Saturday. Women's flyweight. Ariane Lipsky, Mandy Bohm. Did I say her name right? Did I say Monster Bohm's name right?
I think it's Bohm, but there's a grappler who has the same name, and it said BAME, which is really
she
weird.
She does have an accent over the O.
It's an umlaut.
Has a Motley Crue umlaut, yes.
But yeah, I think it's Bohm, but I can't be sure.
She's the monster, and she's going against the Queen of Violence. Queen of Violence is my pick, obviously.
It's a great nickname.
Of course. All right, this one's pretty much a pick 'em on the board. But we had some big odds there, but we're back down to the super close razor thin odds. However you say Mandy's name, she's 7-0 with one no contest, two knockouts, two submissions. This will be her debut in the UFC. She fought in Bellator where she won her only fight. She's got 3 inches of reach. She's a -105. So she's a slight underdog here. The Queen of Violence, Lipsky's 13-7 with 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been knocked out herself 3 times. 2-4 in the UFC. She got TKO'd in her last 2 fights. Not good. She was the KSW champion over in Europe before the UFC. 5 years younger, -120. Do I have to pick first again, Dan? Are you making me pick first every time now?
I'd love it if you pick first on this one. I'll Lipsky. Pick first on the last. I'm going to go Lipsky, too. Yeah, I think there's a lot of hype surrounding Mandy Bohm, mostly just that she's, like, undefeated. She's German, which we don't have a lot of German fighters. Win on Bellator looked really nice. But I also know the woman she fought in Bellator. Her name's Griet Eckhuis. She's from Belgium. Actually, her manager is a guy who I've done work with in the past. Really nice dude, too. I like Eckhuis, but, like, she's, like, probably a step or two behind where she would need to be to get to the UFC. And she mostly just kind of wrestles and grinds, and that's good enough to really make Bohm work because Bohm was not, like, fast enough to move away from her. And that was mostly in rewatching Mandy Bohm's fights. The thing that alarmed me for a fight with Ariane Lipsky is that Lipsky is going to be so much faster than Mandy Bohm, like so much faster. And I kind of expect both of these two to want to strike and nobody to want to grapple. But like if Bohm doesn't, she's just going to get lit up with elbows and knees and kicks and in combinations that like she doesn't even see the first one coming, never mind the second and third. Like I think Lipsky is just going to do whatever she wants on the feet to Bohm here, unfortunately.
Yep, Lipsky is the pick. She is the Queen of Violence after all, so you can't bet against that. All right, we go to our co-main event. Actually, last two fights were both in the totally stacked light heavyweight division of the UFC. Jan Kudalaba versus Devin Clark is our co-main event. We got the Hulk for Kudalaba and Brown Bear for Clark. What are you thinking?
I like Brown Bear. Yeah.
Yep, me too. Me too.
Especially because he doesn't paint himself green when he comes to weigh in, and that's a bonus for me.
Yeah, and he's been on the podcast, the Top Turtle podcast.
Turtle podcast this week.
Oh, boy. Let's see if we shall pick him or not. He is 12-5 in the UFC with 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked down himself twice and submitted 3 times, so all of his losses have come via finish. 6-5 in the UFC, 2-1 over his last 3, though. He did lose via submission his last fight. His striking stats in his favor, +120. The Hulk, Kudalaba, 15-5-1 with 1 no contest, 12 knockouts, 2 submissions, 4-5-1 in the UFC. He is 0-2-1 over his last 3. He got TKO'd or KO'd over his last 2 fights. Lights got put out. 1 inch of height, 3 years younger, more active striker, better grappling stats, -150. The main event are kind of toss ups for me. I'm leaning Brown Bear here at +120. I'll take some plus money here. Unless you ridicule me, and then maybe I'll change my mind.
I don't know that I'm going to ridicule you, but I am going to pick Jan Kudalaba in this fight. Yeah. I'm not real happy about it because I think Kudalaba's an asshole.
That's you're going to make him turn green. Don't say that to him.
That's as literally as direct I will be ever as talking about a fighter I dislike. But, like, the pre-weigh-in antics piss me off. Like, you know, grabbing a single collar tie and looking like he's going to throw clinch punches against Dustin Jacoby, who's like, that dude's a saint. He's like one of the nicest guys on the planet. And you like tried to start a fight with him beforehand. He went for over under hooks against Magomed Ankalaev while Bruce Buffer was announcing. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I hate that about Kudalaba. I also think Kudalaba is a nightmare matchup for Devin Clark based on the grappling aspect and the fact that, like, Devin Clark has a tough time when fighters overwhelm him. You know, like, Anthony Smith throwing up that triangle choke and just throwing stuff at him kind of overwhelmed him and tired him out, and he, like, didn't know what to do when he was – a lot of stuff was thrown at him. Same with when Ryan Spann got at him. Like, Ryan Spann threw a bunch of stuff at him, was threatening him, and he just kind of wilted under that pressure. The fights he tends to win are the ones where he's not being pressured quite as much. You know, he beat Mike Rodriguez, who's a guy who takes a feeling out process. He beat Darko Stojcic, who is, you know, notoriously a slow starter and doesn't get off really quick. He beat Daquan Townsend, and Daquan Townsend, again, is a guy who just, like, takes a while to get going and figuring things out. And, like, all of those wins for Devin Clark are good wins, but, like, that fiery style in the early rounds and chasing a finish in the first, you know, 2 minutes of a fight, that seems to give Devin Clark problems, and has in the past, and that's how Ion Cutelaba fights. That dude just comes at you early in the fight, and if you can weather that storm, that's great. But like you said, Devin Clark has been finished a bunch in the past. You know, he was finished by Anthony Smith, who submitted him. Ryan Spann submitted him. Alexander Rajcic finished him. Jan Blachowicz submitted him. Alex Nicholson finished him. Like, literally, he gets finished in every one of his losses, and most of them are either in the first round or the first part of the second round. So that's when Kudalaba's good. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Kudalaba here.
And Kudalaba's a finisher, too. He's, all of his wins have become the finisher except for one. So, yeah, I'm switching. I only penciled Clark in, so I'm not really flip-flopping. But, yeah, Kudalaba's the pick based on pressure and his insane aggressiveness.
His insane brain? Because that's what
his insane brain. All right, main event, light heavyweights. Two guys you just mentioned, Anthony Smith versus Ryan Spann. So we got Lionheart Smith, Superman Spam. Spann. Lionheart doesn't fit Anthony Smith, so I'll take Superman, please.
Superman Spam.
Superman. I said Spam, yes.
That's even better.
No, exactly. But also,
he's got the tattoo. He's completely dedicated to the nickname. So he's
gone all in. Yep. He is 19-6, him being Spann, with 5 knockouts, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 3 times. He's 5-1 in the UFC. He got a TKO win his last fight. He was 1-1 in the Contender Series. He is a former LFA champion. Inch taller, 3 inches of reach, 3 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, plus 142. As for Anthony Smith, 35-16, that's insane, 19 knockouts, 13 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 9 times, submitted 4 times. He's 10-6 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's won 3 of his last 5. He's won 2 straight fights, both via stoppage. He was also 2-0 in Bellator and 2-2 in Strikeforce. Minus 180. I'm going to take some underdog money here. You're not going to make me change my mind here. I'm taking Ryan Spann at plus 142.
It'd be hard to make you change your mind while I was agreeing with you.
Oh, no. You're not supposed to agree.
Yeah, I know I'm not supposed to, but I mean, like, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I really like the length of which Ryan Spann fights. I think that's really helpful for him. 81.5 inches of reach is going to probably bring some problems to Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith likes to throw that leg kick. It's really what got him by Jimmy Crute. But I don't think he can really, you know, weaponize that against Ryan Spann. The other thing you're missing is the most important piece of analysis we do on just about every fight card. Do you remember what that is?
Neither of them are Canadian.
That's true.
Neither of them are chunky.
We didn't have any chunky guys in this whole episode. No, or any Canadians. So what's the other thing we use just about as much as those two?
Whoever moves forward. No, that's another podcast. Whoever moves forward the most. What else? I can't remember.
You're missing that, Ryan.
Oh, the podcast.
Ryan Spann trains at Fortis MMA. Oh, Fortis. That's the big.
I thought it was Top Turtle.
No, he's not Fortis. A Top Turtle guy, sadly. But no, he's a Fortis MMA guy, which means, you know, I trust Safeside to game plan really well against somebody like Anthony Smith. He's going to give Ryan Spann all the right places to fight this fight. And really, I think, you know, Ryan Spann just really needs to stay away from. I mean, dude, the guy would be undefeated in the UFC if he didn't. If he actually finished Johnny Walker when he should have, instead of like running into like a weird failed takedown and eating some elbows and a hammer fist, like he'd be, you know, what would he be, 5-0 or 6-0? It would win over Little Nog, Devin Clark, Sam Alvey, Misha Cirkunov. Like the guy's got a hell of a run under his belt. So, I mean, he's got to win over $1 million winner Emiliano Sordi too on Contender Series. That's how he got here. So. Yeah, I like his all-around game. I love the fact that, you know, he's longer here, and that's clearly going to play in. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Superman as well.
And he's only 30 in light heavyweight, so he's got a bright future. So we're both taking him in the main event. We got some decent numbers. We can make some good money this weekend. We got some. Nice underdogs and some close lines here. If you want to make more money, what are props and parlays are we going to play?
So one prop that's probably not crazy exciting for people, because you like when I come at you with, like, you know, big whopping +500 props and stuff like that. I'm going to give you a -120 prop that I'm excited about, and that's Armand Sakurian wins by decision. The guy hasn't been a finisher in the UFC, and even outside the UFC, not a terribly great finisher. But him betting off at decision is -120. So you're taking a guy who's betting off at like -800 in some sports books, and you're getting them at -120 in the way he's most likely to win. I really like that play. So I'm all over that one. I would also say I really like Aaron Blanchfield to win by submission over Sarah Elper. If you look for those numbers, you can get her at +450, kind of because people are a little bit hesitant to pick somebody who's only got a couple of submissions to win by submission. But, yeah, I like Blanchfield to submit Sarah Elpar at +450. And I'm also going to take who's the one I said before? I like Mike Rodriguez by late finish here. And Mike Rodriguez, he's not going to win by submission. But if you got him by KO, you can get him at +330 for KO. So I don't mind that. I don't know. Are there any other ones I like? Oh, I guess I like Gustavo Lopez by knockout, too. I know you're all in on Haile Alatang. I'll take Gustavo Lopez winning by KO is something that's kind of interesting. You can get that at +700, which is – that's really nice. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, let's ride with that.
Any parlays that you want to throw out there?
Yeah, let's put together a parlay using the ones I'm the most sure of. So if I'm putting together a list of fights I'm the most sure of that have, you know, odds worth playing, I really like Ariane Lipsky. So she's betting off at, like, -120. That to me is a really easy one to start off with. Let's see. Who else do I really love? We can throw Blanchfield in there. -350 is not the worst number there. Let's take Impa Kasangane. And Emily Whitmire to beat Hannah Goldie. That'll get you to +660 for Lipsky, Blanchfield, Whitmire. Three women's fights there, and add in Impa Kasangane.
There you go. Awesome. All right, you want to pick your lock first this week? Since we both suck at locks now, but I'll let you go first since you suck even worse.
Lipsky. It's
Lipsky. Lipsky, okay.
Yeah, Lipsky.
I'll take Blanchfield even. I don't care if it's a big line. I'll take it regardless, so. Both going with women. They're both flyweight, right? Women flyweight.
Yes. Lipsky is no. They're both. Oh yes, flyweights. Yes, you're correct.
Yes. All right. There we go. You're locked, and we finally made it through all 15 fights. So I don't care if there's anything else to talk about. We've talked long enough. We can speak again on Sunday, shall we? So Sunday we will recap how amazing we did with our picks. I'll be bragging about Tefan Inchukwi, how he knocked out slow Mike Rodriguez. And we will preview another week at Dana White's Contender Series, where the real money is to be made, apparently, because that's where everyone seems to be making the real money. In the meantime, make sure you read all our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'll have write-ups on this week's UFC coming in over the next couple of days. And Dan, every Monday, posts a article on all his Dana White contender picks. Plus, we've got football, if you're into that football thing that people seem to like. All the sports we got covered there. We're going to start rolling out our NBA previews very soon because that season's rolling along too. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast, our actual feed, so you can get this podcast right when it's out of the oven rather than having to wait a day or two before it shows up in the SGPN feed. So do that. Read MMA-manifesto.com, which is the MMA site I run and Dan writes for. You can enter a free pick'em contest there. You can win a $50 gift card to anywhere you like in the world. And listen to Dan's podcast, Prelim Primer, where he makes all the prelim picks with a co-host, special guest every week, and then his Top Turtle MMA podcast, where he interviews fighters and tries not to jinx them and makes some picks as well. And follow us on Twitter, of course. I'm still creeping towards 1,000 followers, so come on, people. If you have a bunch of bot accounts, make sure they all follow me. That would be Jeff Fox Writer, WRITER, and he would be Gumby Vreeland. I guess that's it. You have anything else to say for yourself, Gumby, or do you want to take this home?
You nailed that. You can take this one home.
All right. I'm Shock Juice, Jeff Fox, and this train is rolling on choo-choo down the tracks. Or Supplin, and we'll see you on Sunday. And he was Daniel Gumby Vreeland, and thank you for listening, and bye.